Alrighty, you can open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. I told a few that we're going to start talking about the minor prophets on Sunday evenings, and we're going to hold off on that for one more week, and then we'll spend some time in the minor prophets. And so tonight, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. When I was 10 years old, my parents decided to do a family vacation. So of all places, we went down the East Coast and spent some time in New York City. That sounds like a lot of fun, except for when you were in this huge RV trying to drive the streets of New York City. That's what my dad decided to do. Apparently, he was feeling very brave, and so he decided to take this old brown RV full of four kids and his lovely wife through the streets of New York City. And even at 10 years old, I kid you not, as I was looking out the windows, you know, we're sitting in the back, and I know that's not safe at all, but we're sitting in the back just playing and everything. Even at 10 years old, I was looking out the windows at what was going on around us in New York City and seeing people pass around us and, you know, shaking their hands. I don't think they were telling us we're number one or anything like that. They might have been telling us something else, but shaking their head and all of that. But I was thinking, we don't belong here right now. We are completely out of place. What is going on? It was kind of one of those "we're not in Kansas anymore" type of moments for us. And it was like, get us back to Kansas, or in our case, Ohio. But think about some of those times in your life when you have been just completely out of place. Those moments maybe when you longed for home or became homesick because you had been away for such a long time. In those situations, I'd imagine there was probably some uneasiness, maybe just a deep sense of feeling uncomfortable. That's how we felt in New York City. Let's look at this passage really quickly, 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 through 12. Peter writes there, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." So throughout the book of 1 Peter, Peter is going to call his listeners to an identity check. First of all, at the beginning of the letter, he refers to his readers as God's elect, strangers in the world. Then, throughout this letter, he's going to show the people how they are to live as strangers in the world, how they're going to live as God's elect. We think about this title, this way of referring to God's people as God's elect. We know that that had, from the beginning of God calling his people to be God's elect, meant to live in relationship with God. It meant to have the provisions of God, the protection of God. And so this is a special designation to be considered God's elect. And so Peter, writing to these Christians now, he says, you are God's elect. You are God's special people. And as God's elect, as God's special people, as we see here in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, you are strangers in the world. You are aliens here in this place right now. Of course, as Peter is writing this, you have to wonder if somewhere in the back of his mind, he was going back to an evening he had with Jesus. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 18 through 21. Peter would have been here when Jesus said this to the disciples. "If the world hates you," Jesus said, "keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me." So tonight we're talking a little bit about our identity as aliens and strangers in the world. Jesus says about his followers, his disciples, "Don't be surprised if the world hates you. The world hated me first." Yeehaw, that's what it means to be an alien and stranger in the world. Of course, those that listened to Jesus that day, we know that they boldly continued on in the faith. They continued to preach the message of Christ. They continued to proclaim, this is the way to become a person of God. This is the way to be a part of this group of elect strangers and aliens in the world. And we think about the world that Jesus referred to, that Peter referred to. It's a hostile world in so many ways, and we've talked about that so many times. We watch the news. We see what's going on in our community. We see what's going on in the world. Of course, the world that Peter lived in and this church lived in, a world in Rome, wouldn't have been that much more different than our world today. A lot of times we think that, man, we have it so bad today, and people wouldn't, understand. You know, the Bible was written in a different time, different place. Man, the world was bad in that time too. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3 says this: "For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry." So we say, yeah, the world we live in today is bad. But even then, Peter says, you know this world of lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. I'm not even exactly sure what all those words mean, but I know it's bad. I know that's not how you're supposed to live your life. We live in a hostile world in so many ways. Rome, in the first century, was a hostile place as well. Let's think about kind of four categories of how we see the pressure and the sinfulness of our world. So four different categories. The first one is sex. Let's talk about that for a second. Think about this. This is some pornography statistics, and these are from a few years ago. But every second, $3,075.64 is spent on pornography every second. And that's from a few years ago, so we know that number is higher now. Every second, 28,258 internet users are viewing pornography. Every second. Every second, 372 internet users are typing adult search terms into search engines like Google and Yahoo. 372, typing that in every second of every day. And every 39 minutes, a new pornographic video is being created in the United States. Billion-dollar industry, multi-billion-dollar industry. The world that we live in is a hostile place, and we see that in play with sex. It's accessible. And it's alarming, just incredibly alarming, the age now that boys and girls alike are first experiencing pornography. Very, very young age, 9, 10 years old, these children are being exposed to this because it's so accessible, primarily through the internet. And we think about the television shows that we see today and the movies that are always in front of us, right? I mean, there's pornographic images there as well. And again, accessible. These things are even on primetime television. So, just think about that. Time that we use. Let's think about how the world views time. The average American spends 28 hours a week watching television. 28 hours a week. Over one day of the week is spent watching television. You think about wasting time on the internet. And not all time on the internet is wasting. I don't mean to say it that way. But you think about the time spent on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, time that is just being eaten up as people just sit and absorb these things or in these different media outlets. The time that is wasted by children playing video games. And again, wasted is such a strong term. I don't know why I keep going to that word. The time that is spent, we'll use it that way, playing things like video games and things that depict awful, violent images and things like that. So in our use of time, a lot of times we see that it's used in ways that what we'd say aren't God-honoring. We talk about money as well. A study called Money and Happiness, Rank of Income, Not Income, Affects Life Satisfaction. The premise of the study that was done, and this was done in the UK, was that for most people to feel happy about how much money they have, it has to be more money than what their friends and colleagues have. And so it doesn't just mean it's not just happiness and joy in having money, but one has to have more money than their neighbor, more money than their colleague, more money than their friend. And so what we see, even with this money aspect of life, this materialistic aspect of life in so many ways, is that it has a way of making camp in the life of Christians as well. And that's what we're getting at when we're talking about sex and money and time and all of that, all of those things, is that those things that we say are out there in the world, this misuse of time, this misuse of sex, this misuse of money and stuff, and a lot of times has a way of infiltrating our lives as well, infiltrating the community of faith. Recall the words, think about this. So there's three categories that we're going to mention, not four like I mentioned before. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Kind of painting a bleak picture right now, and I apologize for that, but that's just kind of how it is. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, a passage that we all know well. It says, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Thinking about these different categories of life, do we think at times that this may be a way for Satan to get people off of the narrow way? A lot of times we don't think about these categories of life as these are ways that Satan roars around or prowls around like a roaring lion trying to devour Christians. We don't think about it in that kind of way. We just say, oh, that's just kind of the way it is, or I'll just kind of blend into society. It's not a big deal. Peter, when talking about these folks living as aliens and strangers in the world, he says, be aware of the world. Satan is out there prowling around like a roaring lion. Then he says this in chapter 2, verse 11, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. He says, "I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." War against your soul. That's how he says it. In no uncertain terms, Peter makes it very clear that there is a war that's going on. Which way will you choose? Will you choose to be an alien and a stranger? Will you choose to demonstrate in your life, in your speech, in your action, that your home is with God and not in the world? As Christians, we too often, I believe, become comfortable. This is me. I'm speaking to myself. We too often become just overly comfortable with this world, and that we end up declaring that this world is our home. And as quickly as we make that declaration, the way in which the world operates begins to dictate the way that we live our lives. It begins taking control of us. It begins dictating, again, the way we live our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21, Peter writes this. He says, "Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, Live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Notice that empty way of life. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. So in reclaiming our identity as strangers and aliens in the world, in reverent fear, we have this opportunity, we have a way in which we can break free of the world's hostility. Yes, we see in the world this misuse of sex, misuse of time, misuse of money. But as those that have been purchased by Jesus Christ and his blood, we have a way of moving forward in faith, stepping away from the world and all of its hostility. We went to the DMV the other day and we survived, which was great. But part of moving to Texas, you know, you got to do all of these things, get driver's license, get your cars registered, all of these different kind of things, get your belt buckle, get your hat, and I'm just kidding, you don't have to do any of that. But we went to the DMV, and of course, well, we went from there to get our driver's license, and one of the things I noticed with getting driver's license is when we registered for our new driver's license, they kept our Oklahoma one. So I was like, can't we keep that as a souvenir or something? But they kept it from us. And so now all we've got is Texas driver's license. It's not, we can't even put our little Oklahoma one up on the wall or anything, as if we would do that. Sarah might, I wouldn't. But they kept it, and that Sarah's the one that actually noted that, you know? But we are now fully Texans, and we don't even have that Oklahoma driver's license to claim dual citizenship, if you will. And I think in the same way, when we come to Christ, we take on Christ. We don't have two driver's licenses. Our driver's license, when we're in Christ, when it says our residence, it says heaven, God's place. The one that says world, earth, we give that over. We don't get that back. And that's a good thing. It's a reminder that our residence is in heaven. Our way of doing life, our way of viewing who God is, our way of viewing the world, all of it is shaped by the truth that our home is in heaven. And with our home in heaven, we understand that we live here in this place as strangers and aliens. So back again to chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. I'm just going to read this one more time. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So as we live this life as aliens and strangers, the best part about it, it's not for our own glory, but it's so that others may glorify God. And as they do it, it's our hope that they will give their lives completely to God, becoming aliens and strangers in the world as well. Hopefully this will become contagious. As we do this, the world says hate and hurt, but aliens are to live in harmony with one another. We see that in 1 Peter. The world says to do whatever it takes to reach the top. Strangers are to get rid of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, and envy. The world says to say whatever you want, whenever you want. And when a Christ follower speaks, he's to do it as one who is speaking the very words of God. That's right from 1 Peter. The world says to seek revenge and fight. The holy ones of God are to repay evil and insults with blessings. Again, right from 1 Peter. The world says to simply learn to live with anxiety. Christians are called to cast all our anxiety on God, because he cares for us. That's the life we're called to live. And so as aliens and strangers in this world, we are to ask ourselves some questions. Is my relationship with God shaping the way that I use my money? Does my use of time contradict my conviction that Jesus is Lord? In the way that I talk to my spouse, to my friends, am I honoring God in my use of words? And do we really believe that sinful desires are battling against our soul? Do we claim that? Do we really believe that? I think it's time that we get serious about that. I think too often, again, speaking to myself here, too often we kind of become friends with the world. Become friends with sins. It's kind of like a pet to ours. And we want to be Christians, but we just want to be a little bit better than the world. And Peter comes and he says, Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion, and the sin is waging war against your soul. It's a good reminder to us. A couple of things as we kind of practically live this out, just a couple action points as we think about being aliens and strangers in the world. First one is just to admit it. Admit that we're aliens and strangers in the world. Name that truth about yourself if you're in Christ. I'm an alien and stranger. I am called to be different. It's key that we just start by admitting that. And then after that, put yourself around other people that are living this alien and stranger kind of life. And again, talking about this being contagious, hopefully their desires, their way of life will sort of rub off on you. We are a community of aliens and strangers, and we're called to help one another in this journey toward heaven. We're going to sing a song. If there's anybody here that needs the prayers of this assembly, we'd be so glad to pray with you and for you. If there's anybody here today that has not yet come to Christ through baptism, we would love to witness you do that this evening. So if you have any needs, you can come forward now as we stand and sing this song.